Welcome to Real Talk, Real Women, Breaking the Silence Around Abuse. I am Gemma Serenity Gorokov, your host, and today we have a precious guest. She is a mom of five children, not one, not two, or three, five, in 2024. Kudos. She has gone from zero to six figure while being a mom of five. That too, kudos. She's a Black woman. That too, kudos. She is such an inspiration, and I'm so happy and grateful to have her on the show today. Ranika, imagine a round of applause welcoming you on stage.
Thanks, Gemma. That was a wonderful introduction. Oh, I love talking with you. I'm so glad to be here.
All right. So, Ranika, my first question for you. Can you please tell us a little bit your story with an emphasis on the kind of abuse you overcame in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, thank you again for having me. And I've told you this already. Thank you for doing this because I think what you do helps so many people. So my story starts, you know, from when I was young, probably like maybe a lot of people, just grew up in a home with a lot of domestic violence. So domestic violence was something that was normalized for me, right? Just verbally, physically, emotionally, spiritually in some ways. So when I got married, some people, they grow up and they say, whoa, I want to stay away, far away from that. I don't want to do that. For me, it was so normalized. I gravitated to that, right? And so got married, ended up being an abusive marriage, kind of the same things, right? Spiritually, verbally, emotionally, the things that you can think about, right? And yeah, it was just so normal to me. And so people ask the question, you know, why do people stay in these other relationships? Why are people there? It's like, because I didn't know any different. So that's what I've experienced, I will say, for most of my life, except for the last about 7 years of my life. So, yeah.
So it has been 7 years since mm-hmm. you are free to experience love, joy, happiness, growth, mm-hmm. all kind of yeah. good things.
Okay. Yeah, in its fullness. Yeah.
And that matters too. That matters a whole lot.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you want to share a little bit of your early experience yeah. in your life that actually sets the stage
yeah.
for an experience of abusive relationship being the norm? Where did yeah. you grow up?
Yeah, absolutely.
You grew up.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, you know, little girl from Louisiana, grew up, and I think I grew up just kind of in a cycle of what was normalized, right? How you do that in relationship, how you talk to one another in relationship, a lot of just verbal abuse, a lot of physical abuse, a lot of hurting each other, a lot of not seeing, the attributes of love, right? Of gentleness, of kindness, of patience, of all those things, right? I mean, that was just my life, day in and day out. I remember going to school one time and a girl saw on my legs like these big welts, and she said, I'm going to tell the principal like right now. And I remember like begging her as a kid not to tell, because then that would create more trouble for me right at home. And so it's just always this kind of being on eggshells, this anxiety, this fear, where I really try to navigate how do other people feel, right? So you become this people pleaser, right? You try to learn, okay, I can hear this person's steps. So that's either happy steps, okay, they might be mad. You can hear the tone and inflection in people's voices. And so you kind of build this, I don't know, I wouldn't say it's a superpower. You just build this thing where you figure out what makes other people happy, right? And so a lot of what you do is outward for other people. You don't have this kind of internal sense of what do you need? What makes you feel happy? What is love? What is kindness? What is goodness? You spend most of your time, most of your life figuring out what do you need to make someone happy so that it doesn't bring harm and pain to you. So yeah, that's a lot of my early kind of childhood.
So you quickly learned how to wear your heart on a sleeve, how to people please, and how to be like a chameleon.
Yeah.
Molding into some things that should not hurt, other, therefore you should not be hurt. That was your defense mechanism to try to navigate the life that you experienced from day one, basically.
Absolutely. And to become a performer, right? So I will perform and do well. I figure out what you like. Okay, so making good grades in school, that makes my parents happy. Okay, I'm going to do that. And so I become this overachiever, this performer most of my life, right? Because that makes not only makes someone else happy, but it keeps me safe in my mind, right? Yeah.
Which is what matters in your mind, in your own story. That is one of the key. I mean, I'm also victorious over 15 years of domestic violence. I've been put down, raped, almost killed twice by strangulation with two different stories, one time 5 years, one time 10 years. So there is also the repeat pattern in my own experience. And one of the things, and now I have been like 10 years, 11 years almost, out of that, which is truly a blessing. And what one of the things I really recognized and realized in this healing and transformation journey, where you learn inwardly to become a magnet for love, respect, trust, reliability, integrity, adoration in your couple, in your love couple. I mean, that kind of things. And one of the things I learned is that you have to be very aware of your own story you tell about yourself, because that is the key to change in order to change your experience. Question for you now, Ranika. What changed the story you were telling yourself about who you are that allowed to remove yourself and five children, the fifth in your room, away from constant abuse, which was the norm, therefore you didn't know any better, and we understand that.
Yeah, that's so good. And like, I even think that part of my story is so miraculous. And like I was saying, there are so many, I recognize there's so many women, so many people, I would say, who are in, have been in abusive relationships, and they don't necessarily have community around them. And so I was fortunate enough to have community around me. And I will say, I don't know how this happened, and I can only attribute it to a miracle and God's grace on me. I've always had amazing friends around me, even from a little child, like just really great friends. How I was able to maintain good relationships, having seen like, you know, poor relationships in the home, I don't know, probably just a miracle. And so it really was friends. You know, I was always very quiet about my relationship, I would say my marriage. And it was friends. I finally started opening up where you feel like you can't perform anymore because it's so hard. You can't keep it inside anymore because it's too much to carry. So then I finally started to speak, and I would say just little things here, like, this is hard. And, you know, friends, they would kind of raise their eye a little bit like, Renika, that doesn't sound like it's healthy or right. Are you sure? And they would, you know, ask a little bit more, and I would share a little bit more. And so I do think it was that weight of the performer could no longer perform, because it was too hard and everything was too heavy and too hard. And so luckily I had friends who were so honest with me in love to say, Renika, we need to talk a little bit more about this. And it was actually them, those friends, that community that helped pull me out of that situation when it comes to my mindset, and also physically helped me to get out. So yeah.
I know for a fact, because I went through that too, that the moment you leave your home with your children. So first of all, question, because there are two options. Either you leave with all the children, or you chase away the other person. What was the situation? you experienced?
Yeah, so I was actually pregnant with our fifth child. And so it was me and all the children. We went and we stayed with a friend. And I actually did a tour, if you will, saying, if anything happened, you can live here. And I still was in denial when she said, I was like, there's no way that me and my four children, and I'm pregnant with the fifth, will come and live here and with you and your husband and your three children. Absolutely not. And that was probably 3 days before we actually left. And so we went and we lived there with them. Yeah. For 7 months. Yeah.
7 months. Yeah. But those 7 months allowed you to discover a new version of yourself, to heal and understand a lot of what happened, allowed us time for your now five children, because the baby was born in the meantime, I guess, for all your children to actually get used to that new situation, knowing it is temporary, but that there is a new chapter opening up, not losing too much school and still getting in the habit, because you really want to also keep their stability while evolving, changing, improving things, and then having them also. Did they have to go back and forth between mom and dad?
Yeah, so they did. Yeah, they did that for a while. They did have to do that. And I homeschooled as well. So I had a lot on me. So I actually homeschooled them at that time and left, you know, pregnant with the fifth. And I can't emphasize, Gemma, the fact that I know that there are people who do not have community like that. And I had community like that, because those 7 months, that wasn't, you know, you probably could ask anybody who leaves an abusive relationship. Those 7 months weren't, whew, I'm out. Let me live the best life I can now. It's processing. It's, you're still in survival mode. It's grief. It's all the difficult things. And so I literally had people around me to help think for me, because it was that difficult. And now I'll have conversation with friends and they'll tell me something that I said or did during that time. I don't even remember. Sometimes I don't remember. My brain was that much in survival mode. You know, sometimes memories will come back, but I'm just emphasizing that if anyone who's ever been in that situation, or if you have the ability to help someone or get a team around someone, do that, because it was such a saving grace. Like the times I could not think for myself, like, what do I eat? Do I eat now? Okay, what's the next step? Literally, somebody would sometimes tell me the steps. I have a friend would check on me and this. It's like, we need that. We need each other in the world where we feel like we all can just do it by ourselves, and we all want to, you know, do, we're over here doing our own thing. Like, we literally need each other. And I don't know how I would have survived without community. So.
I'm so much with you on that one. One other thing I noticed, and you probably experienced close to the same thing, there are three pillars in our human life that are essential to our stability, regardless of the situation, good or bad. It's home, family, and job or money generating activity, I mean income. When you actually break free from your marriage, you are removing family love, even though it was not love, or maybe it was toxic love. You are removing home, it's not the same anymore. And depending how it goes, you are also removing your income, because now you have to also find out how are you going to generate an income for yourself and your children without that other person. So basically, your three pillars of safety.
I think I lost you, Gemma.
Have that. When you have that experience, it is all at once that you have to find out and figure out your past. This is why it is so hard and so necessary to have indeed at least one person, but basically a community to help you think through the next step, because you are just like survival with nothing familiar anymore, except that you are alive and you have five children who can know you.
Yeah.
And rely on them. So it's yeah. like, whoa, now go figure out your life. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I know how it works. But indeed, the support of the people around you who love you and care for you, who offer you a home, temporary, fine, but a home so that you can have that taken care of. Some income in the meantime, paying for your own food or survival or anything that you need, because every day you still use an amount of things that is normal. But those
Yeah. And I was a part of a church. So at that church, provided everything we needed, food, gas money, all the things, you know. And I know some people don't have a church, some people don't have that community, but there are different communities, right, that we can find, you know, that are helpful to us. But yeah, just thinking about that. And literally, I know we may not be at this point, but this is why I do what I do, like, because I help other women, other people who have left these situations, because not only are you leaving, you have to think, I got married when I was in my early 20s. And so now I'm out of a marriage, and now I'm really figuring out how to adult for the first time at 30, however old. So it's, you know, not having access really to finances like that. So, oh my gosh, how do I automate bills? How do I do, you know, you're figuring out all of these things for the first time. So yeah, it is definitely helpful to have people around you to ask those quote unquote silly questions, right? Things that you think everybody knows and you don't, you're like, hey, can you help me? How do I do this? And so just for anybody out there, like, it's a learning curve once you leave, you know, there's a lot of grace and to have you, right, like, good people around you if you can. Yeah.
Renika, I think you are a blessing because you were saved by God's angel to continue to be a blessing and to continue to shine brightly and to be a beacon for so many who look up to you as an example and inspiration.
Yeah.
Wow. So tell us a little bit. What business did you build when you started the
touch,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. So my business is Renika Speaks. You can see it there. It's an LLC, and it's where I run all my speaking engagements, right? So people call on me to do exactly what I'm doing with you right now, right? Talk about your story. Talk about the cycles of abuse. Tell us, help us run groups. Help us run workshops to teach people. And I'm so excited about that, Gemma, because like we said, there are a lot of people who don't have community, and I just didn't know a lot. I did not know a lot when I first left. And now I'm able to, what I like to do is kind of put everything in one place and be able to teach people, okay, what are the cycles of abuse look like? What are the cycles of equality look like? What are things that you can do to be healthy, right? And practice, and what happens when you're ruminating on the same thing over and over? How do you move forward? And so those are things that I had to kind of scramble to get and learn and build over time. But now I can, like, really talk to people about them straightforward. Am I a licensed therapist? No. Do I have a master's in this? No. But I am a mom of five who has an experience with this. And also now I have more information than I didn't have before. And it's like, when you get that good thing, you want everybody who can help to know it, right? So that's what I do. And so churches will call on me, conferences will call on me to speak and empower people and to help people. And I do coaching and I do groups because I want people to know. And I want people to know, you know, if you have someone who's walking through this, what does that look like for you to walk through it with someone? What is someone who is in an abusive relationship feeling? Because some people really are like, well, why did they just leave? You know, why? Well, there are reasons why someone just can't just pick up and leave. You know, here is how somebody who's in an abusive relationship thinks. And so that is what I teach, because not only did I not know it, but also the freedom that's on the other side, like that I can say, you know, I'm a single mom of five, but by the grace of God, like, there is so much freedom now and goodness now. And if I can help someone through the steps of that and getting to whatever freedom looks like for them, then I'm excited about that. And I noticed the other day that, you know, my business is Renika Speaks. I just said it like that because it's a speaking business and what I do, but also I'm giving voice to myself, whereas like for a long time in my life, I did not have a voice. And so I'm giving voice to myself and also voice to other people who are trying to find their voice and try to figure out what is it that I'm doing. And so that is my business: coaching, speaking, workshops, facilitating, and helping other people. It's my love. So, yeah.
Thank you for blessing the world with your voice, your experience, the knowledge you have acquired, and really help others on their journey, because your experience allows you to tune into someone else's feelings and understand what they are going through, because you went through the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Because the global story is the same. Some shape and some name and some places can be different, but the inner story that keeps you stuck is the same, and the inner story that shifts, and now it is too heavy, and now it's too much, and now you must actually jump, like quantum jump to another life situation.
Yeah,
that's key. One last thing that I would like you, the audience, really, really understand. When you have an organization with a group of people, you may be a company, you may be a school, you may be a church, you may be a community, anything that brings together a group of people, there are some of your members that are victims hiding in plain sight. And I can tell you, Renek, I can tell you, we won't tell you that we are victims of all kind of, any kind of domestic abuse whatsoever, because we protect what is familiar. However, there is one thing you can do. If you get any hint that there is something fishy going on, first of all, you can listen in. And now what you can do is to connect with Renika. Ask her to come to provide you with an event, a workshop, a keynote, maybe a virtual event, something that you actually share with all your group, all your team, all your people. Because by becoming aware of domestic abuse, of the cycles that we go through when we are living in it, of how it looks like and feels like when it is healthy. One of the biggest questions I remember was, and I was asking, how does a healthy couple relationship feels like? That was my biggest question when I was in there, because I was used to be yelled at, I was used to be called names, I was used to be ignored, I was used to be all kinds of bad things, you know, that I was used to. But how does it feel like when you have a healthy partner, a healthy-minded partner?
That's good.
Who loves you, recognizes you, adores you, and now you mess up. Yeah. What does that feel like? How does that unfold? What's right? That is the kind of question victims hiding in plain sight are asking. So if you get that kind of things going on in your organization, reach out to Renika. She will tell you everything about that with plenty of resources that you can do to help.
Yes. Thank you, Gemma. And Gemma, is it okay that I know you have my website app, which is renikaspeaks.com, but I also want to give people a website, thehotline.org. It is amazing. It answers a whole bunch of questions that we talked about, right? What are the signs of abuse? How do you help someone who's in an abusive relationship? They also have a hotline that you can call. They have a chat that you can be on where you can ask any questions. And I actually want to tell people too, if you are not in an abusive relationship, but you're like, I need to talk to somebody because my friend is going through something difficult, you can actually call them and say, hey, this is not about me, but this is about a family member, a friend, somebody I know, and I need some help. So I love, love, love that, thehotline.org. So
that is one of the key resources. I will also put it on my podcast website.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Amazing.
You. Thank you.
Blessings to you. Thank you.
Blessings to you and all you're doing, Gemma. Thank you.